From 91.5 KRCC in Colorado Springs, this is Air Check, a show about great music in the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Jeff Beery.
I'm Jake Brownell.
I'm Vicki Gregor. On this episode of Air Check, Mike Doty talks getting sober and going solo after soul coughing. Glenn Phillips of Toad the Wet Sprocket plays some songs from his new record. Bill Foreman shares some stories from his long career as a music critic. And we remember two towering musical figures that we lost in the last month. All that today on Air Check.
So it's that time again for our musical roundtable, where we all go around the table and pick a song that we can't get out of our heads this month. And let's start things off with you, Vicki.
All right. Well, you guys, I'm picking somebody who is really almost like a friend of the station. He did a record a couple years ago, and I was so taken with it that I got him to come play a couple of venues here in the state. He's a wonderful man, and his music shows that positive vibe. His name is Tomas Pagan Mata, and the name of the song is Given the Way.
Given the way you're living, pardoned by truth, even the sense of beginning vanishes too. Given the way you do, given the light in this darkness, blinding is you. Given my senses have left me, it's a hard thing to lose.
Tomas Pagan Mata, you know, one of the things I love about him is that soaring voice. And he reminds me of days of yore. There's something very lyrical and pastoral about his music that puts me in mind of the 60s. It also puts me in mind at times of things that Led Zeppelin would explore when they were, you know, on their softer side of things.
He was really a nice guy, too. Really a sweet person to have visit us here at the station.
Mm-hmm. And I can tell you when he was here last, the band that opened for him at the venue he played, he sat and watched every second of his opening band. So you can tell he's really an involved musician.
Yeah.
He's got higher hopes, I think. He's got kind of a big dream of what we could all be.
Right.
And so this is a forthcoming record?
Right. This is a EP I think he made for us, possibly, but just putting out there ahead, called Living a Lie. And I think he's going to go with that title. So look for that to be released, probably even 2017 in the early part of that. But he wanted us to have a few songs for
ourselves. It'd be great to get him to come back through and visit us here.
Tomas Pagan Mata. Keep your eyes open.
Good
and
choice.
Ears.
Nice pick. So, Jeff, you're up next.
Well, I thought I'd play some blues music for you. I get to host the Blue Plate Special every weekday at noon on KRCC. And the pickings have been kind of sparse lately, but this album came through. They're a band that's actually has Colorado roots, and the last couple of CDs that they put out have been blues albums. This is Big Head Todd and the Monsters. They were a big band back in the late 80s, early 90s. They've taken a new direction. They're calling themselves the Big Head Blues Club now. And this new album, beautifully packaged, it's called Way Down Inside, The Songs of Willie Dixon. They're covering Willie Dixon tunes. And this is My Love Will Never Die.
Love
or die. You've done me wrong for a long time.
So this is a really smooth, nice blues tune. The CD was recorded at the studios at E-Town Hall up in Boulder. And that was last summer. Got some great artists on here, including Mud Morganfield. That would be McKinley Morganfield's son, a.k.a. Muddy Waters. I think it's a good blues album. One of the better ones that we've had pass through the station here this last year.
These vocals are really stunning. Is that Todd?
I believe it is. And
I mean, that's an amazing trajectory of what his voice has done. It was always very striking in the 90s, you know, when you heard some of that their stuff come on, you'd be like, wow, that guy's voice.
Yeah.
But it really applies well to the blues, and it's got that Santana kind of cool, you know.
Yeah.
Let's get
smooth,
our congas
nice.
Out a little bit. Yeah.
Jeff, you know, you've been hosting the Blue Plate Special for how long now?
Long time. I think close to a quarter century.
Wow.
Ouch.
And in a sentence, just briefly, you know, what keeps you coming back to the blues?
I think it's bands that who push the envelope just a little bit. You know, there are these standards. There are these standard tunes like this. This is a CD of Willie Dixon tunes. Willie Dixon wrote a lot of the blues standards that we know and love, covered by so many different blues musicians. But a good blues album will twist it, move it just a little bit, and add a little something to these old standards that I think hooks me, you know? And you get these artists that have had different expressions in the past who are kind of coming to the blues, which is really, you know, the foundations of rock and roll, and they're just adding to it, you know, coming back home, kind of, you know.
The flowers growing where I lay.
All right, Jake. What are you picking this time around?
Well, I'm very excited to be able to pick a local act.
All right.
For this one. A local band calls themselves Cocordian. It's the brainchild of local musician Mitchell McCura, who I happen to know I used to play in a band with, full disclosure. But he just released this new album, and I think it's stunning.
Stunning and local?
Stunning and local.
Let's brag about it.
That's right. Yeah. Well, let's take a listen to it first. The song is called Two Boards off of the album COS Home Equals Audio. I just love it. I think it's this perfect mixture of driving and kind of subdued, and the vocals have this kind of sing-songy, dreamy quality to them. This album has truly impressed me.
Yeah, the atmosphere to this song and just the use of that guitar, the way that guitar just comes in and kind of says little phrases and then kind of pulls back and kind of comes back in and does its phrase, with the drums building like very organically, and then they become almost like a digital dissolve. It's beautiful production on this.
I was hooked in the first few seconds of the song with this sort of, was that backward looping or really original? That's a nice hook right there, just to get people to pay attention.
Think about the local stuff we've looked at over this last year or so. Yes. You know, because you've brought in some other stuff, some of the bands that we've hosted on Aircheck. This scene is really beautifully incredible, and the next wave of people are coming through and are doing very, very diverse and deep projects.
That's right. Great. Let's celebrate it.
It'll be fun to watch kind of where Cocordian goes. I know they're on tour right now, and it'll be interesting
to see.
Great pick.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Well, that wraps up our musical roundtable for this episode. Nice picks, you guys.
Thanks, fun.
Same to you both.
This is Aircheck from 91.5 KRCC.
Readers of the Colorado Springs Independent will certainly recognize the name Bill Foreman. Bill is the Indy's music editor, and he's been writing reviews and stories for the paper for many years. In an earlier life, he was an editor for Grammy and Pulse magazines, and he even tried his hand as a record producer. Over the course of his career, he's interviewed some of the best and brightest musicians of our time. And Vicki, for our next segment, you wrangled Bill into the studios, had a chance to get him on the other side of the microphone.
Oh, yeah. We had a great talk about his work and his career. And he started by telling me about his unlikely first gig as a music writer with Trouser Press magazine while he was still in college.
This is a hilarious story. Not really. I did a study abroad in England, and I wrote to Trouser Press, and the day before I left for London, a letter showed up, and it was a letter of introduction from their editor, Ira Robbins, and it just said, please let Bill, you know, he represents us, let him interview anybody he chooses to. And they did. It was insane. My first interview was the band Can, the German band.
My goodness.
My first paid interview. And that was pretty much, I think, that day was when I decided I'd really like to figure out a way to do this for a living.
Do you still have that letter?
I don't have the letter. I do have the article.
You do?
And it's very yellow.
You have interviewed and written articles on so many people, so many bands, hundreds and hundreds. When you approach an interview, does it matter to you, do you feel that internally, whether it's this up-and-coming band that you really are excited about, or, hi, I'm going to talk to Sting today? Like, your preparation, does it change a lot? You know, are there two different columns there?
No, I'm actually kind of terrified no matter who I'm interviewing. The one famous person I ever interviewed was like Paul McCartney, and that really worried me, and I spent like ages. But if it's the guitarist down the street, I'm almost equally nervous, and I overprepare, and I stutter, which I'll be doing some of today.
So I'll join in, because that won't
please,
be hard.
Please, let's do that. And I find that if you know something that the person doesn't think you would know, they relax and they start thinking, oh, this person is actually interested. They're not just doing it like to go through the motions. So yeah, I've been pretty lucky not to have many terrible interviews. So, fingers crossed.
Did you find some of your favorite bands then, just being on the pursuit of who's up and coming and watching the music scene? you would have watched that anyway. You're a music lover, but did some delights come your way that you wouldn't have expected? That you were sent on assignment to go cover so-and-so, and through preparing, listening to their music, or interviewing them, you came out a bigger fan, mm-hmm. or perhaps less of a fan. Did you have those circumstances? Were you disappointed at times? I'm sure you must have had a few of those.
The band NRBQ was really disappointing. I adore them, and I always think of them as like America's Fab Four.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have a reputation for being kind of cranky, and it was early for them. It was about 1 p.m. and Terry, the band leader, said, so why don't you put this on the cover? And for some reason, I didn't know he was serious. And so I answered in the wrong way, and they hated me.
It is so hard, and I still think about you every time I ride in my car.
Hey, here's a cool thing I came across. This was very exciting. So I was investigating some stuff you've done through this very, very wonderful career, and came upon the fact that you were a co-producer from a much-loved record here at KRCC called Loungepalooza. Do you want to talk a little bit about this wonderful compilation and what this whole project was about? Because we've played it a lot. We might have even had to replace it at this point.
Do you know who you've played? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Stephen Eady doing Black Hole Sun. That's how I knew, you know, I was in the right place doing late night radio.
Uh-huh.
PJ Harvey's on here. Polly Jean Harvey. Ben Folds 5 doing She Don't Use Jelly.
The Flaming Lips song, yeah.
I know a girl who thinks a ghost should make you.
I mean, these are amazing artists, and the selection of music is profoundly wonderful.
Oh,
How did you gather everyone together? How did you get involved in this project at all?
I thought of the name, and a friend, I know, right? That's all it takes in Hollywood. And a friend of mine did a compilation called If I Were a Carpenter, which was like Shaun and Knife doing Carpenter song, all these different people.
Oh, yeah.
And so I went to him. The concept was there was kind of a lounge revival thing happening. It lasted for about 30 seconds. and so the idea was theoretically we could play into that by getting older lounge artists to do new songs and then getting newer, more contemporary artists to do old ones. And it worked. I think it came out well.
It has been, it's given me great delight. I would like to have this visual of Steve and Edie looking over Black Hole Sun. I'm assuming maybe they weren't familiar with it.
Uh-huh. Steve said he looked at the lyrics and said, whoever wrote this must be on some heavy drugs. Yeah, this is a guy, what? He was very popular in the 50s, maybe?
Sure.
Older guy. And Edie just sang her heart out as if, you know, I mean, these lyrics are so bizarre. And
I know.
She's just going for it, like she's singing about her life and what went wrong and how she triumphed over it. And it had like the Disney orchestra.
In my shoes, a walk and sleep, and my youth, I pray to keep. Heaven send hell away.
I mean, it was a lot of fun. We had hoped it would be a video, but videos were very, very expensive, so it wasn't. But imagine if it was.
Black old sun, watch it come, wash away the rain.
Your articles are always engaging. You always have a great opening sentence.
Oh, thank you.
You always get me at that. When I think about the people that you choose as your subjects, I mean, some stuff is assigned to you. At this point, don't you choose who you want to pursue? I know you're supporting the music scene. You're like, mm-hmm. so-and-so's coming to town. But do you have your wish list, your bucket list that you still would like to pursue?
Typically, I realize what my bucket list is when the person dies, and I regret it. That's a terrible thing to say. But, you know, I have Sharon Jones on my mind. And then a lot of times I'll get a very older artist before they die. And I'm pretty thankful about that, to be able to get stories that only they could tell and maybe even that they haven't told other people. But it's the independent has let me do so many different things that I think that I can't think of another place I would work where I had that level of freedom, or would today, let's say that. And yeah, they trust me, and I've just gotten to interview the you know, from Twin Peaks or Lemon Twigs, who are like 17 and 18 years old now, to like T-Model Ford, you know, an 80-year-old Southern man who spent time on a chain gang because he like stabbed someone to death. And so they give me so much freedom. I get to write about politics. I sound like I'm doing an ad for them. But, you know, I mean, it's so rare to have a publication that's so open to that.
Well, Bill Foreman, music editor at the Colorado Springs Independent, a delight to sit and talk with you about that passion that we share, and I really do appreciate that and the work you do.
Thanks, Vicki.
You take care.
This is AirCheck from 91.5 KRCC. Stick with us.
From 91.5 KRCC in Colorado Springs, this is AirCheck, a show about great music from the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Jake Brownell.
I'm Vicki Greger.
And I'm Jeff Beery.
Jeff, in our musical roundtable last month, you picked a song from the latest album by Mike Doty, The Heart Watches While the Brain Burns. And then, lo and behold, Mr. Doty himself was passing through town recently, and he stopped by the station for an interview.
Lo and behold, there he was at our front door. On a Friday night at 6 o'clock. It was really a pleasure to sit down and talk with Mike Doty. I've been a fan for years and years, since his days in the band Soul Coughing. It was a big band back in the 90s. The band broke up in 2000, and Doty's gone on to release a number of really outstanding solo records. And on top of that, he's also published a book of poems and, more recently, a memoir about his struggles with addiction. He's a really nice guy, very talented, and he's led a very interesting life. It was really a pleasure to sit down and talk with him.
All right, well, let's take a listen to that interview.
I don't need to walk around in circles.
Thanks for coming in, Mike Doty.
Absolutely, of course.
So, Ruby Vroom was where we got to know you. Mm-hmm. An incredible series of records that you did with Soul Coughing. Love those discs. Love everything that you've done.
Great, thank you.
Which is, you're a really prolific guy. How many albums out?
Well, this is the 9th solo album, 12th overall if you
That's
include
a lot.
Soul Coughing albums, yeah.
The Heart Watches While the Brain Burns, that's what the tour is in support of here.
Mm-hmm.
So the title of the album, I understand you co-opted from Marc Maron. What's the story behind the title down, The Heart Watches While the Brain Burns?
Well, he's, I've known him for a long time. I've known him. I used to go see him at a bar on Ludlow Street on the Lower East Side with like 20 people in the audience. And it was something that he just said in the rant in the top of his podcast, where he literally sits there and talks to himself in his garage. And that's like right. the first 10 minutes of the podcast. And it's great. And he said that, and I recorded it while I was driving, just said the title into a recorder, and I was like, that's the title of something. I don't know if it's a song or an album. I don't know what it is, but that's a title for something. And I wrote him, and he was cool with it. Didn't right. remember saying it.
All right.
But got,
there it is.
Got permission.
There it is.
There you have it.
I stand where the light is pure. The moon is on fire. My hand upon the door. I'm burning like a white wire.
Mike Doty, nice new album. A lot of new feeling on this.
New feeling.
Well, you know, I mean, when you compare this album, Mike, to what you were doing with Soul Coughing mm-hmm. back in the 90s, there's a lot more melody. There's a lot more.
Oh, sure.
There's
yeah.
a lot more. A lot more of you, I guess. Is that fair to say?
I don't know. I mean, I was a reasonably shallow person in the 90s, so I couldn't really tell you. Yeah, I mean, I feel good about this work. I think this is the best thing I've done in a number of years. I keep doing record stores, and they sort of play the record incessantly before and after you do your little set. And I keep hearing it and being like, there's nothing I would cut. You know, generally, since Haughty Melodic in 2005, every record that's come out, I've been really invested in getting all the songs I wanted to get on the album, and then I'll listen to it down the line and be like, I should have cut that. It should have been a 9-song album or a 10-song album.
Not so with this one.
Not so with this one.
You're good.
Well, I mean, for one thing, I actually did cut stuff, and it was painful. And I was like, no, this is really good, and people are going to like this one. And I'd be like, no. It's also short.
Uh-huh.
It's 36 minutes, which I love in an album. I love something that if you like it, you get to the end and you're like, I want to hear it again.
There's a face shining on the wall. There's a race that rolls on wrong.
So can I speak for just a moment? And we don't, you know, you're welcome to say no, Jeff. We don't want to talk about that. But can we talk about addiction for a little bit?
Sure, we can.
What's in the press and what's available to anybody who peruses the internet is that you were in a bit of a haze back in the 90s.
Yes, you could very much say that.
So
yes.
So how has that played out for you?
I just had basically the gift of desperation. And, I was forced to a moment of crisis in terms of like depression and anxiety as well as addiction. And, you know, I got clean, got into therapy, started taking care of myself, left Soul Coughing, which I should have done a few years before that, but I got the courage to leave. And then since then, I've slowly built up my creative life and my, just my life. Haughty Melodic, the first like sobriety album was great because I was working with Dan Wilson, who's gotten a couple of Grammys since then with the Dixie Chicks and Adele, and he's like a hardcore guy. And it took about 3 years, stem to stern,
long time.
To make it. It was a long time.
Long time.
To feel like busting up a Starbucks. Busting up a Starbucks.
So was that during a transition period then, the Haughty Melodic recordings?
No, I was sober. I mean, it was a transition in the sense of figuring out what I wanted to do artistically in terms of sort of going out and sort of going to the Soul Coughing audience and saying, I'm not going to play that stuff. And, you know, if you dig the new stuff, that's cool. We'll hang out, but I had to clear the decks, and I think if I had not done that, I would just be stuck playing just the same songs over and over again for the rest of my life, which I didn't want to do.
Yeah, keep growing.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, it's not easy because people get a fix on you, and they want you to do the same thing over and over again. And the problem with that is people keep thinking they're going to be, you know, you're going to make an album that's going to make them 22 again.
Right,
and it's like, you're not. Like, it just, you know, I can make a record that's like a carbon copy of Ruby Vroom and you're still not going to like it.
Right.
You know, because you can't restore someone's childhood to them.
Right.
So, you know, if I wasn't going to keep growing, I would just be sort of shoveling something inadequate into that need.
So I hear you talking about that from the creator, the musician's end, mm-hmm. but from someone like myself who listens to this music, and this music has this this really powerful sort of hold on our on some memory or something, you know, that youth that you're talking about.
Right.
Does it piss you off? Are you like, you know, grow up and come with me on this new thing? I mean, do you people yell out, you know, bust a Beelzebub to you?
I really don't like it when people want to tell me the story of their sophomore year in college.
Right. Okay.
Like, you know, I was in the frat house and my roommate got me drunk. And always the story ends up with, and my roommate had the CD or like, and then I heard it on the radio. But there's always this long, long, long emotional journey. And I understand why it's important to people. And I have done that to people. And like, you know, I get it. But I sort of sit there going, okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, all right, yeah. Thank you. You know, and it was a lot more annoying before, you know, I got, you know, I wrote a lyric from Yes and Also Yes on a lady's leg in Seattle, and she went straight to the tattoo shop and had it tattooed
on. Wow.
Yeah. So if I wasn't connecting with people with this new stuff, and obviously I don't have anywhere near the kind of publicity capacity I did when I was on a Warner Brothers artist, but it would be hellish if you know, nobody was listening.
Right.
If people are listening.
Yeah.
And you just have to get over the fact that, you know, it's important to people and you have to sort of smile and thank them and,
right.
you know, try and be cool about it.
Right.
I was a man alone, leaning on the white courtesy phone. Holy fool and hobo signs, I rebuke your moony lines. I drove into the sun.
Beautiful lyrics, and I'm wondering how does the lyricist, poet, writer meld with the musician? And that's a lot of talent you gotta.
Well, thank you.
Wrestle, you
appreciate
know?
That. I mean, I think most people don't listen to the lyrics until they've heard the song a bunch of times, unless it's the chorus. And I think even then, some people just they don't really hear the lyrics other than the chorus. So I don't really think about like a narrative, or, you know, I don't really feel like I have something to impart, really. I'm dealing a lot with sounds. A lot of the lyrics are just sonically interesting, like they're just interesting vowels. Really, that sounds odd, but, you know, there's a lot of like sort of matched vowels. You know, a lot of it is stuff that I've written down on my phone because I've just thought it up, or I saw it on a newspaper headline or something like that. But it's not like I don't get offended if people don't know what the word. My cello player, Andrew Scrap Livingston, does not know the title of a single song.
Really. Wow, right.
Yeah.
So what do you prefer? Is it really doing it all, putting it all together? Or is there one thing that you like to sit in front of keyboard?
And they're very different things. It certainly can be painful to write long form prose. It really is like, you know, like I will wake up first thing in the morning and start messing around with guitar parts when I have a book to write, and I am writing another one. I wake up and I just do everything I can to not start writing until like noon, which is lame because you get the really great stuff if you start first thing in the morning.
So, because you'll deplete yourself, or what's the reason?
There's just something about being, you know, I would say something like kind of corny, like, you know, you're closer to the world of dreams when you first wake up.
Uh-huh.
Super corny, but I do think it's true.
Okay, all right. Mike Doty, thank you so much for coming in.
Of course. Thanks.
I hope that when you come back through, we can do this again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And thanks for coming in.
You're very welcome.
Like they never did before.
That was Jeff Bury speaking with Mike Doty. His latest album is The Heart Watches While the Brain Burns. You're listening to Air Check from 91.5 KRCC.
You never make a sound. No, at least not like you did when I was close to you, so sweet and so profound.
Next up, we've got an interview and performance with another musician who made a name for himself in a popular 90s band. The band was Toad the Wet Sprocket, and the artist is Glenn Phillips.
All I want is to feel this way, to be this close, to feel the same.
Vicky, Glenn Phillips sat in with you on the Morning Music Mix. What can you tell us about him?
Glenn Phillips is a very talented man. Toad the Wet Sprocket was one of those 90s bands that defined college radio. In fact, they're having a tour that's just wrapping up for the 25th anniversary for the album Fear, which had a couple of big hits, Walk on the Ocean and All I Want. Kind of kicked off all that cool MTV video stuff that the 90s were, and a really sensitive, thoughtful man. His latest release is called Swallow by the New. It's a beautiful album, and I've been listening to it a lot.
All right, well, let's take a listen to your interview with Glenn Phillips.
Kisses at the door, gather around the table, papers laying wait, envelopes and mail, barking at my heels, I'm trying to be stable.
I want to talk to you first and foremost about this brand new record, Swallowed by the New. And one of the things that I think I've noticed about it personally is it certainly addresses perhaps the end of a relationship or something that's incredibly meaningful and defined in your life. I'm wondering if that's just my, reading into it, or if that's what your adventure has been lately.
Yeah, no, this was the breakup of my marriage, and it was a 25-year relationship. Got together when I was 18, had three daughters, and... Yeah, and when we broke up, I was determined not to make a breakup record. I somehow wanted to avoid that step, and I was like, I want to make a happy record. I'm going to make something really, I'm going to skip over all of this. And then I got in a songwriting group, this guy Matt the Electrician, where he sends out a title every week, and there's maybe 16 to 18 songwriters who get the title, and they have to turn in a song by the following Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
And I'd had writer's block because I was trying not to write about what was actually happening. And then the titles kept coming in, and it kept being things like My Criminal Career or Leaving Old Town or Reconstructing the Diary. And those songs were the earliest songs I wrote for the album. And they're the most relational. They're the most about what it means to step out of a relationship.
And in fact, I read somewhere where you were quoted, and it really stuck with me because it was such a sincere statement that coming out of this relationship, it was the idea of looking around and, first of all, having gratitude, like, wow, what an experience that was. Thank you. And having that sense that both of you were going to be okay and move on and be better. Mm-hmm. And that you had brought each other up in the course of all those years. And that was really a beautiful thing to say.
Yeah, it took a lot of time, and it honestly also took a lot of work, and even protecting myself. Number one, protecting myself from influences that would have encouraged me to be more of a jerk, and of which there are plenty. And
there are.
Also, like, seeking out help in all ways. And I found grief work ended up being really important. And Dan Savage, I mean, so I have all these kind of New Agey authors and, shamanic influences and, like, you know, death meditation practices I've done. But and there's Dan Savage, and who just always talks about, we have this thing where we, you know, you define a successful relationship by one of you dying first, right? If that's the only criteria for success, it's kind of a bad criteria. It's like you should leave each other in better, if it's a year long, do you leave each other in better condition than you found each other? Do you fill each other up, and do you have the ability to know when you're not serving each other anymore? And not that there can't be a year of freak out. I think that's appropriate.
There should
when
be
you
some
lose
freak.
That much.
Yeah, you got to have some freak out. I mean, come on. But then I look at the title of the record. So then, voila, you're swallowed by the new. If you're feeling it, I'd love to hear something from that.
Yeah, sure.
Or whatever you want to play.
You can't just love the easy ones. Can't just love the easy ones. You gotta let them in when you'd rather just run. You can't just love the easy ones. You can't just play the simple songs. You can't just play the simple songs. Gotta knuckle down till your fingers are raw. You can't just play the simple songs. When I can't face ones I fear, it'll all become clear. Oh, when I embrace the ones I fear, it'll all become clear. You can't just walk the shortest road. You can't just walk the shortest road. You gotta straighten your back beneath the heaviest load. Can't just walk the shortest road. When I can't face the ones I fear, it'll all become clear. Oh, when I embrace the ones I fear, it'll all become clear. For all the suffering souls beside me, I pray love will guide me. I pray love will guide me home. You can't just love easy ones. You can't just love easy ones. You gotta let them in deep when you'd rather just run. You can't just love the easy ones.
Glenn Phillips, 91.5 KRCC, The Easy Ones, from the brand new record, Swallowed by the New. What a beautiful song that is. I'd sure love to hear another one if you have time to do that.
Yeah, sure.
I use sisters in circle, children of mine, humble my heart, sharpen my mind. Though scattered and weary, changes upon us, we are bound till the end. Still a family, I promise. All that you love will be taken someday by the angel of death or the servants of change. In a flood water tide without rancor or sing loud while you're able, in grief and in praise. For so many years we swam into the tide and we would not abandon. Heroic and kind, shared our sweat and our shelter,
our bodies and blood. Godspeed and good fortune, I will miss you, my love. All you hold dear will be taken someday by the angel of death or the servants of change. In a floodwater tide without rancor or rage, sing loud while you're able, in grief and in praise. Now we meet at the well of sorrow, dug down to the heart of the earth, to be joined at its source to the spring of hope. Drink deep while you can, give thanks for your thirst. Someday by the angel of death or the servants of change, in a floodwater tide without rancor or rage. Sing loud while you're able, in grief and in praise. Sing loud while you're able, in grief and in praise.
Amazing song. Glenn, I can't thank you enough, truly, for your time and this amazing record, Swallowed by the New. And it's going to be my new best friend for a little while.
Thank you.
That was Vicki Gregor, music director here at KRCC, speaking with Glenn Phillips. His latest album is called Swallowed by the New. And you are listening to Air Check from 91.5 KRCC. Stick with us.
I've been harboring fugitives. I've been wondering how to live in a station so opposite to the world I thought I was in. All the time that I've been away. Weary one.
La 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 la.
From 91.5 KRCC in Colorado Springs, this is Air Check, a show about great music in the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Jeff Beery.
I'm Jake Brownell.
I'm Vicki Gregor.
For our final segment, we need to acknowledge a couple of towering figures in American music who both passed away in the last month. And that would be, of course, Sharon Jones, as well as Leonard Cohen. And first of all, I thought we could kind of just talk a little bit about Sharon Jones. And I never really was a big listener to her music, but I know that both of you really were. And so I wanted to just ask for you, Vicki, what did Sharon Jones mean to you? And can you tell us a little bit about kind of who she was?
Mm-hmm. So Sharon Jones was certainly at the forefront of what some people call like the neo-soul, neo-R&B movement, as if it had to be renewed. But there was a certain sound that harkened back to those days of Stax and Motown. That all happened through the Daptone label. And the thing about Sharon Jones is she started her career later in life. She was 40. She'd already been a corrections officer at Rikers. and had done all this amazing stuff, and then through some happenstance sang backup on a session for Lee Fields that was heard by Gabriel Roth. That's the guy that went on to work with Antebellus and the Mighty Imperials to start Daptone. So once they've got that record label out of Brooklyn established, she was at the forefront of making the music for them, and she just had that power and that voice. And she's the kind of singer that can have a full horn backup behind her and have some of the best players you can think of, and she commands that stage. They do what Miss Jones tells them.
When I opened my eyes, it was all around me.
When I opened my eyes, when I opened my eyes.
Jeff, you know, you've been hosting the Blue Plate special for a while now. You've been following blues and soul and R&B. Do you remember when you first learned of Sharon Jones, when she kind of first popped onto your radar?
Yeah, the first Sharon Jones album we added, I believe, was 100 Days, 100 Nights.
100 days, 100 nights, to know a man's heart.
And that really put Daptone sort of on the radar for us here at the station. The album is so strong that when you see an artist come across your desk on a specific label, you look for that label to show up again with more great music. And it happened over and over and over again with the Budos Band. Naomi Shelton and the Gospel Queens were on Daptone Records. Lee Fields, the Manahan Street Band. All of these groups, Charles Bradley, you can't forget Charles Bradley, who we just glommed onto. And these are all sort of New York-based bands with this new generation of R&B artists that have just been outstanding.
You know, a thing about Sharon Jones, too, that I think a lot about is she was diagnosed in 2013, somewhere in the summer, with that first round of cancer. And when you think about the touring that she's done between 2013 and now, I mean, she was on the road, you know, dealing with chemotherapy, being sick, having that second round come through, you know, losing her hair,
yeah.
Energy always, you know, challenged.
You know, I had the pleasure of seeing her about 3 years ago after her first diagnosis and her first treatment of chemotherapy at the Gothic up in Denver. And she was bald. But man, you know, this woman had so much energy on stage and was so powerful.
I done left you here.
I wonder, just sort of lastly on Sharon Jones, what do you think she'll be remembered for as far as her contribution to music in the, you know, 20th and 21st century? Is she going to be a figure who really goes down in history, do you think?
I think her name will come up when you talk about people like Tina Turner, Aretha Franklin, James Brown, because even though a revival of soul and funk wasn't needed, there was something that clearly she delivered to that table that just hadn't been explored quite that way before. And I think she'll be remembered as a powerhouse singer, powerhouse performer, and somebody that helped build a record label.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
That harkens
back. I don't think you can separate her from Daptone Records. I think those two ingredients were needed to make this great music. You know, just like Motown Records was needed and Stax Records was needed, Daptone was so influential in Sharon Jones' career, and Sharon Jones was really influential in building Daptone too. And Daptone's Records is continuing. They're signing artists, and it's got longevity.
So she'll live on in her music and in the record label that she helped to build. Well, Sharon Jones passed away November 18th of this year. She'll be missed.
You better get yourself a new one.
Suzanne takes you down to her place near the river.
you can hear.
We also lost in the last month another legend, another giant of American music, Leonard Cohen, who passed away in the beginning of November. I'd like to just go around quickly and just talk a little bit about what he meant to each of us and who he was. So, Jeff, for you, who was Leonard Cohen? Why was he a significant figure in American music?
To me, Leonard Cohen was first and foremost a poet. And I always listened to his music as almost spoken word with a melody behind it. And he seemed to, from my perspective, sort of shine a light in dark corners. And I got to know him through the Future.
Give me back my broken night, my mirror broom. My secret life is lonely here. There's no one left to torture.
That was the first song I think I ever heard and really listened to of Leonard Cohen's, and it was apocalyptic. And if you look at the word apocalyptic, it means uncovering, you know, it means exposing things that have been laying dormant. And I just think he did that so well, and that's how I listened to him. And but first and foremost is this very gravelly, deep-throated poet who was an incredible writer.
I've seen your future, brother. It is murder.
The thing I always have loved about his music is the way that he mixes the sacred and the profane in a way, the sort of high-minded and the lowbrow and comedy and tragedy. It's just like when you go back through his catalog, he's got so many of these songs where it'll be this incredibly vivid poetic language, and then there'll be a quick turn of phrase about, you know, a one of his many lovers or a
seedy
hotel or whatever.
You are the whore and the beast of Babylon that was renting tin.
There's just this thing about his music, and I think ultimately about him when you listen to his interviews and you read a bit about his life. This idea of striving for transcendence, but also being very much of this world. And I think you can tell he was really seeking truth in some deep way. And that's what's always moved me about his music.
What about you, Vicky?
Well, it was such a profound truth. His vision so personal. But then I thought about all the people that have covered his music. So you can be Rufus Wainwright or Jeff Buckley, Jennifer Warnes, R.E.M., and all of these different bands and musicians can do a Leonard Cohen song and really claim it because it is the human experience. But it's still his vision. It's still his words. But there's a generosity to that. And I always thought that was very interesting, that a lot of people know him through other bands, not necessarily always through him. Yeah, he's an adult. You know, I remember just thinking, boy, he sings about grown-up things, you know, because it's the sin and salvation of the human being, of the experience.
Well, Leonard Cohen passed away early November. Let's go out with a track from his new album, You Want It Darker. Let's leave it with the title track from that album. And again, Leonard Cohen, like so many of these other great musicians that we've lost in 2016, we'll miss him.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the words.
If you are the dealer, I'm out of the game. If you are the healer, means I'm broken and lame. If thine is the glory, then mine must be the shame. You want it darker. We kill the flame.
Aircheck is a production of 91.5 KRCC in Colorado Springs. You can find more about any of the songs or artists you heard in this episode at krcc.org. You can also subscribe to the Aircheck podcast by searching Aircheck, two words, in the iTunes store. For 91.5 KRCC and Aircheck, I'm Vicki Gregor.
I'm Jake Brownell.
I'm Jeff Beery.